Very good afternoon in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The topic that has been given to me this afternoon is the principles of biblical follow-up. And for this, I've chosen to look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Perhaps we'll just read 21 and 22. Let's read Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. And this is concerning Paul's first missionary journey. Verse 21, let's read together 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to the city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless us in the reading of His word. As we can read from verse 21, Paul was during his first missionary journey on his outward way until he reached this Derbe and Lystra, and then he decided to return to where he started. But as he was returning on the route that he took back to Antioch, we are told here that he did certain things as he went along the way, and we find in verse 22. And that is the understanding I have of what we should do as follow-up. First of all, it is a follow-up not to unbelievers, but to believers. Right, because what we can read in verse 22, that he was confirming the souls of the disciples. Perhaps we have very different ideas of what follow-up is. I must say that I also had some strange ideas of follow-up, but I do not know what other people said. That is my shortcoming. I did not check the internet to find out more about what other people say, but when I read this verse, it struck me that this is the way we should do our follow-up. And so, first of all, we must know that follow-up is done to disciples, to people who already believed, right? And then what do we want to do with these people that we believe? There are three basic things that are mentioned in verse 22. First, it is to confirm the souls of the disciples. The word confirm here means to support further. You know, the person is standing already, but you want to support him more, you know, give him more strength. And another verse in the Bible where this Greek word was used, it was translated as strengthen. So what Paul wanted to do was to strengthen the souls of the disciples, not strengthen them in doing exercise, physical exercise and so on, but it is the souls of the people that he was concerned for. And so he went around to, when he was going back, his aim was to strengthen, one of his aims was to strengthen the souls of the disciples. And he did it, you know, a few times as you read the accounts of Acts. For example, in Acts chapter 15, you know, in verse 36, Paul was going to start on his second missionary journey. And then here we read, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. This was what Paul had in mind also on his this end of his first missionary journey, as expressed in verse 36 of chapter 15, he wanted to visit the churches that he had gone to before and to see how they are doing. And then if we jump to the end of this chapter, we see in verse 41, chapter 15, verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. The same word is used. To strengthen the faith of the people. And so follow-up is a concern. It's a concern for those people who have already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from what we have read, we can know that it is because they are still young in the faith. So Paul wanted to visit them and see how they are and to strengthen them in their faith. So one of the things that we need to do is to visit, right? We must not forget that. We must visit, we must go and make the attempt to connect again with these people that we have met, and then to strengthen them. To build up their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see how needful this is in Acts chapter 15, verse 32. Just before this start of the second missionary, between the verses in chapter 14 that we read and the chapter 15, 36, something happened. There was a problem concerning circumcision. And the Jews, some of the Jewish believers said, "Look, you know, you Gentiles, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must also be circumcised." So there was a great debate, and finally, who were the best people to make the decision? The church at Jerusalem. So they went back to the church at Jerusalem, and finally the apostles and the elders said that no, circumcision is not required for new believers, if they are Gentiles even. But there are certain things that they have to do. They have to abstain from idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. And then after they have made this decision, they wrote a letter, and together with this letter that was sent to Antioch, they also sent some people. They also sent some people to help to explain this decision that they have made. And so, in verse 32 of chapter 15, we are told, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." They were sent to this church, and as these letters were read to the people, Silas and Judas, they explained, they helped them to understand this thing that has been brought up by the apostles. So we, in biblical follow-up, we need to visit and we must try to clarify the doctrines that these young believers have come to know, right? So we must, and in that way we strengthen their soul, because through doctrine, through the understanding of God's word, their faith will be increased, right? You will see that, look, this is a faith that is real to me, that has meaning to me in my life, right? And so it is very needful. Why? Because if you don't do it, it can be drawn away by things in the world, and that we will come to later on. And then the next thing that we are told that in verse 22 is that Paul, as he went back on his backtrack on his first missionary trip, he also exhorted them to continue in the faith. To exhort is to encourage the people. There are also other instances in the Bible where we read that there was encouragement being done. And first, if we turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 23, we read verse 22 and verse, I will read 22 and 23 of Acts chapter 11. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. The church was formed in Antioch, and this is the place where the believers were first called Christians. And when the church in Jerusalem heard this, that this church has come about, they sent Barnabas there to encourage the brethren there. To encourage the people there. Because they need encouragement. In confirming the souls of the believers, that they had to explain the doctrine, right? And so when the new believers have got problems, have got questions, they will ask you, and of course you also must be well grounded in the Word of God, right? Otherwise, then you will have problem explaining the doctrine. But in this case, in exhorting, you encourage the believers, the young believers, to continue on in the faith. Why is it important to exhort people? To encourage people. Because in the world, we have many distractions, right? They, before they became Christians, they were following certain values. They had different life, there are certain lifestyles that they practiced. But when they become believers, when all of us became believers, our values in life change. Right? We don't seek after power or wealth or things like this. And sometimes it can be even very difficult for even non-believers. For believers. Right? Even believers, after we become Christians, sometimes we struggle, why are we working so hard? Why do people strive so hard to work and, to the exclusion or to the exclusion of the life in church or to the family life? Many of them want to earn more, to have more, because they find security in all these things. But as believers, we should not. And so, all these things can cause a new believer to just drop out from the faith. New values that believers should adopt. New lifestyles. How do you spend your time? As non-believers, very often we may want to while away our time. We just spend hours and talking to people and watching television and so on. But when we become believers, we know we have to account for the time that God has given to us. So our lifestyles change. We may be very laid back in the past, but as believers, we want to make use of the time that we have for God's work. We want to use our energies, our talents for God. But for new believers, they may firstly be shy, you know. Even in our church, you know, right? Many people are afraid to come forward to serve, to do something, because all the while maybe they are very passive people. And sometimes the fact that you have to step forward to do something which you do not know about and you have not experienced, and so you feel a bit fearful. You are very apprehensive. You dare not make the move. And so this is what we need to encourage new believers to do. To take that first step of service, to make good use of the time that they have, because all of us are accountable to God for the time that we have been given. Our hope change. We have a blessed hope, and we have to teach believers, in fact young or old, that we have a blessed hope for us. Because without that kind of hope, the hope of eternity with Christ, and the hope and the knowledge that God is with us all the time, because without this, very often we become worried. Yeah, we are worried for our health, we are worried for our families, we are worried concerning whether we have enough and so on. And so we have to encourage the brethren, don't worry. Yeah, God knows. And that's why we have to come back, you know, to the basic step, doctrine. Understanding who God is. If you know that your God is almighty, you know that your God is one who loves you and cares for you, then you don't need to worry. You can trust in God. You can have peace. So these are the things that we need to encourage the new believers. Come, take the first step. Don't worry. And this is the thing that the Word of God has told us to do. Come and do it. And then you must be there. You know, the word exhort here is actually what we call the coming alongside with. The meaning, the sense of the word means to come alongside with the person. That means you are there to bring the person along on his journey, right? And that's how we encourage, is it? We have to be there and help to bring this person along in his newfound faith. To encourage the brethren in the faith. And this word exhort also has, in some other places of the Bible, has been interpreted as to admonish. To admonish means what? Is admonish something good or bad? Huh? Good.
Alright.
Scold. Yeah. To admonish has a sense of warning, right? When I say admonish, you know, when we say parents, we are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's very a bit tame, right? Admonition means actually you have to warn. You have to warn your child. It is the wrong way, okay? Don't go along this way, right? And so that's why the last part of verse 22, Paul says that we must also tell them that through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation, we must warn them of this. A number of believers, I believe, a number of people who have heard the gospel and have said they accepted Christ as the Savior, eventually they drop out. You know why? Because they did not expect that they would have trouble in their lives. Right? Because when we present the gospel to them, it is such a wonderful thing. Look, this is a wonderful thing I'm going into, you know. There's a God who cares for me. There's the care of the brethren, you know, so loving people. And so you think everything will be seen. And then the next thing you realize, oh, trouble. Trouble from where? Everywhere. In fact, probably the greatest trouble they may find is with the family. Right? In Matthew, let's listen to Matthew chapter 10. And then we'll realize, you know, perhaps we have gone through a very easy, we have been led along a very easy path to being Christians. But there are people who will face problems. In Matthew chapter 10, and verse 35 and 36 says, for Jesus says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. One of the greatest difficulties a new believer may face is from people of his own household. Non-believing parents will not want the child to go into another faith, especially if they are belonging to some other faith. If they are free thinkers, maybe it's easier. But they may be ancestral worshippers. They may be Buddhists or Taoists or some other things. And so, of course, you know, being very traditional Chinese, they want their children to follow after. And that's why, I don't know whether now, but during my generation, when we were younger, you hear very often the parents will allow the children to go to church. You can go to church, but don't be baptized. And with baptism, you know, I mean, the church where I went to, I even heard this father was so angry that the child was baptized, he brought the child to the pastor and make the child, the young man, okay, he's not a 12-year-old, about 16 or something, make the young man kneel in front of the pastor and says, look, why was he baptized? At least during our times, you know, parents were so, you can say, fierce, okay, they are prepared to drive the child out of the home because of the faith. And many of us, I guess, we maybe were brought up in a Christian home or brought up in families who parents are more open-minded, so-called. But you must realize, among the people like that, perhaps the Indians, right, and other nationalities, it is not so easy, you know. It is not so easy because their tradition has been of idolatry and so on. And you must try to understand that to become a Christian is not as easy as the way we have become Christians. And that is why we have to, in a sense, warn them, at the same time, to encourage them. And so, not only for non-believing parents, but even believing parents, don't spend so much time in the church. You know, you got so much homework, huh? How come you spend so much time in the church, right? I hope I've not been there. Okay, I encourage my children to come to church, but there may be parents who will say, no, your studies, you must get your A's and what, then you go to church, okay, you don't score how many A's or distinction or whatever, then you better not go so much, right? And so truly, when Jesus says a man's greatest foes and the favor may be from the family. A warning to parents. Anyway, But then there are also, you know, non-believers, the background, their friends, the friends they mix with. If they're very good friends, who are indulging in certain things, these friends may want to hold on to them. Maybe for good. Maybe they are worried. They don't know about Christianity and they are afraid that you may be going the wrong way. It may be out of concern. But very often it also may be that, oh, if he becomes a Christian, he's not going to join us. Then we lose a friend. Then we lose somebody in our group. Because people want numbers, right? Drug takers, they want other people to join them. At least, you know, if I do it, if I'm wrong, then at least other people are with me. Yeah, other people also see this need. So, you know, if there are more people joining me, I feel more comforted. And there are these friends who may want to pull them away. And so we have to warn them, be careful. We have to also help them to see. We have to help them to see these are the difficulties that you may have. And you may have to suffer for your faith. You may have to face grief because of your belief. And so we have to be very honest. Right? Lest this person all of a sudden comes into difficulties in his life and decides to stop. And then you wonder why. You wonder why. And so these are the three basic points that you can learn from this verse here in biblical follow-up. First, to confirm, to strengthen the souls of the new believers. Help them to learn the Word of God. Help them to understand the faith, what they are believing in. And be prepared to answer questions. That is how you can confirm, you can strengthen their faith. That is the time when they will have many questions to ask. I've been doing BBK with one elderly gentleman, and just last week he asked me, I'm a believer. I know I'm a believer, but I don't feel it in my heart. I don't feel it. I have to explain to him, belief is not something that you feel. It's something you know with your head and with your will. And so you have to be prepared to answer. You must, in fact, prod them to see whether they have any more doubts that they have concerning the faith. And then you must encourage them to continue in the faith. Continuing in the faith is not easy. You know, it has been said, right? It's easy to start something, but to continue is very difficult. Right? That's our experience. Oh, I'm very interested in a hobby. I want to do this. And then after that, after some months, fizzle. Why? You lost interest. You know, you just cannot continue for various reasons. So don't underestimate this. And in fact, it is necessary even for believers to exhort one another to continue in our faith faithfully. I was speaking to the Golden Years, and we were having Bible study. And the verse that we looked at, it says we must exhort one another, even as you see the day approaching. We must encourage one another. Not only believers, but especially for these non-believers. Young believers. Right. And the third thing is, warn them of the difficulties they may come across. And be there to help them to watch out for the dangers that they may, the pitfalls that they may fall into. So that they will not all of a sudden wake up one day and say, I want to give up. May the Lord help us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this verse that you have in Acts. It shows us how Paul went about to follow up on the disciples that he have led them to Christ, We pray, Lord, that we may be mindful of these principles, that as we share the gospel and we see people coming to believe Christ as a Savior, we may also take the next step to help them to grow in the faith. May you grant us the desire, the care and love for them, that we may be willing to put in this extra time and effort that the new young believers may continue on in the faith and be found faithful to you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Any questions? No question, I have a question. Believers, new believers, young believers, and so we, so in tracking normally we try to establish that, we pray.